Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. No, you can't watch TV until your homework is done. No, you cannot eat cookies before dinner. No, young lady, you're not walking out of the house in that. I'm going to need that work on my desk by Monday. Sir, you are doing 45 in a 35. I'm going to be writing you a ticket. Please pay better attention to the posted speed limit signs. The old Adam in us, the sinner in us, doesn't like authority very much, does it? Those in authority tell us what to do, and it is often very different than what we want to do. And when we are forced to do what we do not want to do, we become angry, annoyed, frustrated, agitated, and even rebellious. If this is true about earthly authorities, how much more will it be characteristic of will our sinful flesh reject divine authority, which doesn't just tell us what to do in certain situations, but indeed guides every aspect of our existence. However, the saint in you rejoices in God's authority, because you know his authority is perfect, holy, righteous, loving, and just. Authority is the topic of today's sermon, specifically God's authority and our relation to it. Our theme for this morning is condemnation comes from our rejection of our Father's authority, but salvation comes from his submission to it. In the first section of our gospel reading, the chief priests and elders of the people come to Jesus and ask, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gives you this authority?" If we are to understand this text, we have to know what things these Jewish leaders were asking about. Most recently, Jesus had entered the temple and threw out all the merchants who were greedily capitalizing on the heavy foot traffic that was found there. This took authority. If a police officer takes a thief and throws him in jail, it is a good and wonderful thing. But if I am robbed, and I track down the robber, and I imprison him in my basement, I am a vigilante. The difference is authority. And what the Jewish leaders saw when Jesus threw these greedy merchants out of the temple was authority. They saw that when he wasn't just some angry man, some vigilante, no. When Jesus spoke, he spoke with authority. And this prompts their question, who gives you this authority? The priests and elders were blinded by their pride and unbelief from seeing the answer to their question. But you and I know. Jesus has authority because Jesus is the author, the author of existence. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and when he speaks, God speaks. There is no greater authority. And if there is no greater authority, then rebellion against him can bring about no greater condemnation. As we read in the Old Testament lesson, the soul who sins shall die. It is this condemnation that should justly be yours and mine this morning. Our God is a faithful God, and so he commands that you shall be faithful to your spouse. But our hands and eyes reject his authority. Our God is a compassionate God, and so he commands that you love your neighbor as yourself. But our lazy feet and apathetic hearts reject his authority. Our God is a merciful God, and so he commands that we forgive those who trespass against us. But our pride and anger reject his authority. We also reject God's authority when we confess things which are contrary to his holy word. That is what these Jewish leaders were doing when they time and again rejected the teachings of John the Baptist. We do this too when we say things like, there are different ways to the same God. You call your God Allah, I call mine Jesus, it's all the same in the end. Or when we say things like, there's no such thing as hell, God would never send somebody to hell, despite the clear teachings of Jesus that say to the contrary. That is just the tip of the iceberg. We are tempted to believe false opinions about all sorts of things, like human sexuality, marriage, the origin of life, just to name a few. When we confess false teaching, we are arrogantly placing ourselves above God. And this is certainly worthy of being called evil. But it is for that sin, and indeed all sins, that Jesus is in Jerusalem at the time of our text this morning. He has come to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, sin of doubts, sins of arrogance. He paid for them all. So we join in the joy of this morning's psalm writer who says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in a way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and righteousness. The second thing that these Jewish leaders were likely referencing when they said, by what authority are you doing these things, is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus entered into the holy city to the cries of, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David. When the people say this, they are confessing that Jesus is the heir to the throne of David. They are confessing that he is their king. They are confessing that he has authority. I said in the introduction that we sinners don't like authority very much, but there is one exception. If we are the ones in authority, we like authority very much. We love the feeling of importance. We love being in control. We love power. Authority gives us all of these things. These chief priests and elders loved all of that also. The text makes it quite clear that they were willing to do anything to maintain that power, even if it meant killing Jesus. But let's not think that you and I are not capable of similar wickedness. As the saying goes, power corrupts. But contrast our sinful hearts with Jesus, who uses his authority not selfishly, but selflessly. As the true king of the Jews, Jesus could have entered Jerusalem to acquire a crown of precious stones and the adoration of the people. But no, he entered Jerusalem to be mocked with a crown of thorns and to offer himself up for you and me. As Paul writes in our epistle, Christ Jesus made himself nothing Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, became a servant like you and I. Jesus allowed himself to be born a man, to be born as one under the law, and he submitted to that law perfectly. He submitted to it on your behalf. The law that you could not keep, he kept for you. Condemnation comes from our rejection of our Father's authority, but salvation comes from his submission to it. But since this time, our Lord has ascended back into heaven. He has returned to the throne, which he left when he came into this world to save us. And it is with the authority of that throne that he now declares you righteous today. It is with the authority of that throne that he calls you his child. And we in this world patiently await the time that we will see that throne, see that king, see that kingdom which is a kingdom of truth, not a kingdom of lies, that kingdom which is a kingdom of life, not a kingdom of death, that kingdom which is a kingdom of joy, not a kingdom of sorrow. That kingdom where authority is a blessing and not a curse, because our merciful Lord is in authority. This is what we pray for when we say, "Thy kingdom come." Moving on now to the second section of the gospel reading, Jesus tells a parable about two sons to illustrate the pride of these Jewish leaders. Jesus said, "What do you think? A man had two sons. And we went to the first and said, 'Son, go work in the vineyard.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your mind and believe him." The images of this parable are crystal clear. The son who did not go represents the Jewish leaders, and we Christians are the son that initially rejected the Father's authority, but afterwards changed his mind and went to work in his vineyard. When you say you have changed your mind, you're saying that you believed something false, and now you believe the truth. "Sweetheart, I changed my mind. We don't need that 60-inch television. You were right. We should use that money and put it in the kids' college fund." That is what it means to repent also. In fact, the word which is translated "changed his mind" in our text is the very same word which is translated throughout the New Testament as repent. Countless volumes have been written on what this word repent means. But Jesus makes it crystal clear for us this morning. To repent is simply to believe your Father. Believe the gospel. Believe the authority that he has, his merciful, loving, and just authority. The world tells you that joy is found in fame, in success, in money, but your Father tells you all these things are passing away. Believe him. Your sinful flesh tells you that church is boring. I'd much rather be at home doing what I want to do, but your Father says this is the most important hour of your entire week. The devil tells you that you are condemned. Our Father says your sins have been forgiven. Believe him. Unless you walk out the door saying, "Yeah, you're right, Vicar. This week I'll try to believe him more. I'll try to believe harder," Dr. Luther reminds us in his catechism. "I cannot, by my own reason or strength, come believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And all of that is possible because of a third son. A third son who always worked in the vineyard of his father, always obeyed his authority. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And as we've already seen, it is by his submission to the Father's authority, even unto death, that our rebellion is forgiven. In conclusion, how broken this world is when we make ourselves the source of authority. But soon this world will be restored to how it was supposed to be. Soon God himself will be our visible king. As we read in the epistle, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May he guard our faith in him until that day. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.